Yeah, so the big issue that we're seeing next following the economic presence is really the grab for the money, right? Which state has the right to collect on services particularly? When you have tangible personal property or real estate that is involved in a transaction that's taxable, then it's really not hard to tell what state that was in because it's physically located somewhere. The difficulty we have are with services, and the taxability of services may be different in different states. All the different states have their own definitions. Even where there's a streamlined definition that is the same across several states, they will interpret it differently. One of the examples in your materials is the definition of food for Texas. It includes two or more ingredients combined by the seller as a food product. And so the question arises, does your Creamy Creations ice cream at the HEB become taxable even though it's sitting right next to the Bluebell ice cream, which we know is a non-taxable grocery item? And the question was answered by the comptroller is, no, we're not going to tax Creamy Creations. We're going to interpret this as more the type of stuff that you would buy in the deli counter as ready-to-eat type things. So even with streamlined definitions, you have different interpretations. And then you have partial exemptions. Like in Texas, we have the data processing and information services with a 20% exemption. And then we have all these services that are performed remotely. And so there's a distinction between where the service is performed and the service benefit location. And even dealing with a lot of the comptroller guidance, I recently dealt with this related to telephone answering services. There's a lot of inconsistent comptroller policy out there. There's a lot of pieces missing in the administrative rules. There is a lot that is just unaddressed. And if there's a lot unaddressed in Texas, you can bet your bottom dollar that there are a lot of unaddressed issues in other states as well.
Yeah. The sourcing rules are where you apportion service fee revenue is a really complicated area. And that's the very fine speech that we heard just before this one. Her description of the serious case was very well done, and it's a wonderful example. Most states source service fee revenue to the location of where the benefit of the service is received. So you could think about this even in terms of your law firm. If you happen to have a bunch of California clients, and you, even though you perform all of your work here, but your clients are based in Los Angeles, you end up with more than now $618,000 of legal fee revenue from the California client. The California regs say you apportion that revenue based on where the benefit of the service is received. And so you end up with a situation about whether your law firm needs to be filing returns in California. This is just an example to drive that home. That's the way most of the United States does it. Texas, for decades, has had in our statute that the apportionment is based on where the service is performed. And so that's why the serious case is so odd to me, because they were trying, I think back in the day when that was all passed, Texas is a huge state. Services get performed here. It was better for us to tax what got performed in the state of Texas. And I don't know if now, the thought is, well, wait, we're kind of a maverick now. And there's a lot of complicated issues in that serious case as to why they thought the service was still being performed here, but they were shaky. And,
yeah, it was interesting because most states adopt either cost of performance or market-based sourcing. Texas does neither. And one of the really interesting things about the serious remand was that the court said, yeah, market-based sourcing, it may be kind of okay, but, it just depends on the circumstances. And so we have this sourcing issue not only in taxable services, but also in the apportionment realm when you're looking at the business taxes. So it becomes really interesting. All right, so I'm going to also just kind of give a little update. We have the economic nexus standards. Florida and Missouri have been the last two holdouts on that. Florida, the effective date is July 1st of this year. Missouri, it's January 1st of next year. So we're coming up on that very quickly. And then two states, Massachusetts and Ohio, also have standards that require an economic nexus plus a software-related presence that they have actually been applying retroactively, which is cookie nexus, the cookie nexus provisions. And so that plus the marketplace collection laws throughout the various states are really trending as the way of the future. And then I'm going to pass it on to Steve so he can talk a little bit about domestication of entities in Texas and some of the options for bringing businesses here.
Yeah, real quickly, I'll go through this pretty quick. Basically, you federal people are going to be all over this issue. But the next step is you've got a business, they want to come here. What's the best corporate decision for getting them here? And there's really two basic options. First one is, can they convert? Can they convert their California entity or their Delaware entity to a Texas entity or possibly to a Delaware entity? The main theme here is we want to get out of California, usually. They definitely don't want to stay a California entity. They're going to want to get everything they can here. And the trick to that is if you can use the conversion statutes, they're almost always better. And the main reason is because the statutes say that it's the continuation of the same legal entity. It's just operating in a new form.